Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hunter Henry, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the Top 10 Thoughts Show from Week 9 of the 2025 NFL season. I'm Cody Carpentier with you as always here on a beautiful Monday, November 3rd. Top 10 Thoughts from a different background, different view. Where am I? I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, doing Top 10 Thoughts from Week 9 on my way to Arizona. Next week, I'll be home, hopefully by Monday. I'll be in Vegas this weekend, but Top 10 thoughts from the weekend that was Week 9 has to go to, first and foremost, the team that vaulted themselves up to tied for the number one seed in the AFC. New England has continued to win. The Colts lost this weekend, but it is now a distinct three-way tie, 7-2 Colts, 7-2 New England Patriots, and the 7-2 Denver Broncos. Has to be the first thought because Denver, right, came in with one of the better defenses in the NFL this year. That was the expectation, and it wasn't so hot out of the gates. They beat Tennessee by 8. Tennessee stinks at home. They go on the road for 2 games. At the Colts, they dropped 29-28. At the Chargers, they dropped 23-20. And since then, win, 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 win. And now they got the Raiders in Week 10 before they get the Chiefs in Week 11 going into a bye, which is going to be a massive game at home the first time you get the Chiefs. They get the Chiefs again in Week 17, but this first one, that's going to be on Christmas. That's going to be a massive game on Christmas, first off. But this one against the Chiefs in Week 11 is going to be kind of shows you where the state of the season is at in the AFC West, because if the Chiefs lose that game off the bye, Chiefs are in a bye this week, they'll be 5-5. And the Broncos would be 9-2 at that point. And that would kind of be a little bit too far to dig back if you're the Chiefs. Chiefs win that game, they'd be 6-4, and the Broncos right there would be 8-3, and that's a little bit more attainable for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the bigger takeaway here is if you look through those Broncos wins the last 5 weeks since the Philadelphia Eagles game back in Week 5, the Broncos scored 18 points in the fourth quarter. They were down 17-3. They scored 18 points in the fourth quarter to win that game 21-17. There's going to be a trend here. The Broncos were down 11-10 in the fourth quarter against the Jets in Week 6. They win 13-11. Not that big of a comeback, but still was a comeback. The biggest one came the following week in Week 7. They're down 32-0, right? Actually, Was it 32-0? No, it was 26. 19-0, 19-8, 26-18, 26-16, 26-23, 30-26, 32-30, 33-32. They came back, scored 33 points in the fourth quarter is the point, against the New York Giants. Week 8, not as tough. They played Dallas. They beat Dallas. Week 9, this week, they're down 15-7. They score 11 in the fourth quarter. Again, in the fourth quarter. This is what this team has built themselves on, is fourth quarter toughness. In college football right now, that's the Georgia Bulldogs. Second half toughness. The Broncos are impressive. And I talked about it last week and being like, you know, this feels like 2006, 2005 again with Colts, Broncos, and Patriots at the top. And I sort of think that the Colts are a little wishy-washy. I said that last week. They lose to the Colts this or lose to the Steelers this weekend. New England continues their role. Their schedule is really not that tough as far as the season runs out. They get Tampa this week in Tampa. Then they got Jets, Bengals, and Giants. They should be a 10-win team by the bye. Then you got Buffalo, Baltimore, Jets, and Dolphins. This is a 12, 13-win team. But the Denver Broncos should be right there with the Patriots. Bo Nix is him. He's the answer. He's the answer for Denver. They got out of the Russell Wilson thing. No matter what, how much dead money the Russell Wilson thing was, Bo Nix is the answer. Other things around the NFL. Speaking of the AFC North with the Steelers there, Steelers get back in the win column this week. That team's interesting to me. Again, so they're currently, as the standings sit in the AFC right now, they're the 4 seed. They're 5-3. They're the 4 seed right now in the AFC North. Baltimore's 3-5. Cincinnati's 3-6. Cleveland is 2-6. Baltimore won their last two games, Chicago and Miami. They have a nice run out. Minnesota in Minnesota this week. Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals. It's pretty if Baltimore gets on a roll, they can get going here. I like the Steelers. The Steelers are kind of a wishy-washy team week in and week out. They're in all the games, but it is what it is. The bigger takeaway, though, from the AFC North this weekend, Joe Flacco with shoulder soreness. There was worry about this AC sprain that Flacco might play, might not play against the Bears this weekend. 204 career games. In the previous 203, he had never thrown for more than 389 yards, so he'd never crested 400 in a game. At the ripe age of 40, 291 days into being 40 years old, Joe Flacco throws for 470 yards with a 109.4 passer rating. 470 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks, and they lose to the Chicago Bears. Diabolical. I don't understand. Like, I've used that word a lot lately, but this is like 470 yards from Joe Flacco in this situation with this team. T. Higgins goes for 121. Chase goes for 111. 66 to Yosavash, and Chase Brown out of the backfield is targeted 14 times, a bulk of them coming in the second half, 75 yards through the air, and they lose the game to the Bears. Joe Flacco is having himself a year. He's having himself a little like he can feel the straw, like the last straws are there until Burrow comes back, and he's trying to just put together a couple wins for this team to try to make, you know, they're going to the bye this week. They're trying to just get a couple more wins to make this thing even a potential chance to make the playoffs for the Bengals right now. The Bengals currently 3-6. They sit 3 games back of Jacksonville, Kansas City, Chargers for that 6-7 seed spot. Number three, another dislocation. This time Jaden Daniels' elbow. Gruesome. They showed it on TV again. I went off about the Scatabue thing last week. It is what it is. Jaden Daniels, he's been dropped in almost 200,000 leagues on Sleeper. The most dropped player so far. We also had the Tucker Kraft ACL tear this weekend for the Green Bay Packers at tight end. One of the most added players over the last day has been Luke Musgrave, who, of course, is the tight end from Oregon State, who was drafted in the same class as Tucker Kraft. Musgrave's going to step up in that opportunity. But the one that I think I lean more into, and I guess this is all kind of balked into a takeaway right there with those injuries, Romeo Doubs is consistently just – he's the one running routes. He's the one getting targeted. 35% target share week 6, 31% week 7, 29% this week, 18% last week. Scored 16 fantasy points again. He's a top 20 finisher in fantasy points this week. You know, Watson's there. Watson is going to have his role. It's pretty clear. The A-dot's going to be 20-plus yards downfield for Watson. Golden, I think with Kraft going out, should get a kick back up in snaps. But Golden, I mean, Golden came down again in total routes run. He went from 82% to 76% to 38%. Not good. I'm not sure exactly what the what the problem is there, why he wouldn't be growing in reps and opportunities right now, but he's decreasing in reps and opportunities at the current stage for the Green Bay Packers, who now sit number four overall in the NFC after a loss to the Carolina Panthers. They're now 5-2. Carolina's 5-4. Carolina's sitting in the 9 spot right now, a couple spots out of the playoffs. On the back of the next thought, Rico Dowdle is what's the word I want to use here? I don't know. He's blindsided everybody, like from just like an overall perspective. Like, yeah, he had 1,000 yards last year in Dallas, but coming in here and completely putting Chuba Hubbard in the corner in the chair and taking this opportunity, and then Chuba comes back from the injury and he's not quite 100%, you can tell. And then they go, we're going to go back to Rico. And they go back to Rico in Lambeau Field at a noon game when Green Bay's been on the road for the last 2 weeks. You come back to Lambeau, noon game. That's a prime Green Bay spot. And Carolina goes in there and runs the ball 33 times for over 150 yards on the ground, 130 for Dowdle, 2 touchdowns for Dowdle. They throw the ball 20 times, barely over 100 yards, throw a pick, and win the game 16-13 on the back of Rico Dowdle and Ryan Fitzgerald. Rico Dowdle is the reason you trust and the reason that you carry running backs and handcuffs on your fantasy football teams. That's Rico Dowdle is the reason. He's the reason that you don't quit on guys like, Isaac Grendo. He's the reason you don't quit on guys like Tyrone Tracy. Devin Singletary, even to a certain extent. Would it really shock you if a year from now, because next year's draft class is so mild, that Singletary ends up in an opportunity where he gets chances? Yeah, I know Singletary's a little bit older, a little bit less athletic, but Rico's not that athletic. Like, this is why, you know, a guy like Jay Ajayi and Arian Foster have had their opportunities. And this is the Rico Dowdle situation. He is very quickly jumped up in the overall season running back output to RB9 on the season in total fantasy points. Rico Dowdle, McCaffrey, Taylor, Achan, Bijan, Jacobs, James Cook, Javonte Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, Rico Dowdle, RB9, ahead of Saquon Barkley, ahead of Cam Scadaboo, who's now out, ahead of Kyren Williams, ahead of Ashton Jeanty, ahead of Chase Brown, DeAndre Swift, Derrick Henry. Rico's hellaciously impressive. Hellaciously impressive. Another player that has impressed me and continues to just get targeted, get opportunities, not named Travion Henderson, I should say, took a step back today with an injury. Kayshon Boutte drops down to 30% of the routes. He has a grade 1 hamstring sprain, according to his Discord today. And that still did not really have Stephon Diggs elevated. Like, he scored 12.8 fantasy points. He ran 73% of the routes. Diggs was good. I think Diggs is going to continue to grow from this. But the bigger beneficiary was DeMario Douglas in his 33% of the routes. Had a 22% target share on 33% of the routes and scored 20 fantasy points. He had 100 yards, long touchdown opportunity. They said Kyle Williams will get the opportunities. He ran 50% of the routes in this game after the departure of Boutte, but he did not get any opportunities. I think he was targeted once in that game. We'll see what happens with Kyle Williams. Of course, he was the preseason darling for the New England Patriots. The other thing in New England that we've been watching for, and I guess this has got to be the takeaway here in New England, is they just won't lean into Travion this year. They're just not going to do it regardless. Ramondre's out. This was the situation of a lifetime to say, all right, Travion, week 9, we need 25 touches. And they give him 14 carries and 6 targets, catches 4 of the footballs. He gets 18 touches for 87 yards. Terrell Jennings comes in and gets 11 carries. So Henderson outcarried him a 14 to 11. May had 8 as well. 55 yards to 35 yards. Henderson averaged 3.9. Jennings averaged 3.2 and scored the touchdown. Henderson, of course, had 6 targets, which tied for the team lead with Henry and Douglas. But it's pretty clear. They're just not – it's just not going to – if you are splitting with Terrell Jennings in Week 9 against the Falcons in a game that – was controlled. It was 21-7 going like right before half. They scored. It was controlled. It's tight, but it was controlled. And you don't pull away in those third and fourth quarter opportunities and end up like a Rico, like he gets more than 20 carries. Like that's what you needed from Trayvon. That's what we needed to see from Trayvon, and we didn't get it. Brock Bowers completely gets back to health and reminds us why Brock Bowers is the tight end one in fantasy football. Before his 43-point game in Week 9, he didn't play in Week 8 because there was a bye. Week 7, 6, and 5, he was out. In Week 1, 2, 3, and 4, he combined for 43.5 fantasy points. 43.5. This weekend, 43.3 in PPR. Doubled his seasonal output, vaulted himself from before this game where he was outside the top 30 in fantasy points at the tight end position up to 13th overall. And, of course, he's number one in fantasy points per game at the tight end position. He's surpassed Trey McBride for 17.4. He's just disgusting. He's just a sicko. It feels like we're getting teased with Dalton Kincaid week in and week out. Big game, little game, big game, little game, big game, little game. Feels like he's here. Feels like there's still a little bit of a buy window on Dalton Kincaid at the tight end position in Buffalo. I trust it. What I don't trust and what I'm losing trust in is Keon Coleman as the weeks go by. I've had buddies. I have a couple of Buffalo Bill buddies, and they're like, you know, why isn't – what's the deal with Buffalo? And I'm just like, one buddy was like, dude, they need to make a move before the trade deadline. I said, no, you need to target your receivers more. Like, you need to use them. And obviously, James Cook is going to get his 20-plus opportunities. He got 28 in this game. And Josh Allen's going to run the ball. And they're going to throw what they're going to throw to Shakir. He seems to be their target guy when everyone's healthy. Kincaid's coming along well. But the problem is there's just not enough opportunities that are needed for a Keon Coleman. When you're pushing the ball to a Jackson Haas, Elijah Moore, Dawson Knox, Ty Johnson, Tyrell Shavers, Curtis Samuel, and that accounts for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 targets in a game where Keon Coleman ends up with 2, he's a guy that needs targets. He's not a guy you can go out there and be like, yeah, we're going to give him 3 opportunities. Go make hay with it. Like, that's just not what Keon Coleman is. People can say he sucks. People can say what they want, but that's just not what he is. It's not going to work if you're not going to target the guy at a higher rate. He needs more opportunities. He gets warmed up. It's kind of like the A.J. Brown, Adrian Peterson corollary. You get hotter as the game goes on, you get warmed up, and that's what Keon Coleman needs to do, and they just don't have the gas to get him the ball. If he was in a Rashi Rice role on the other side, if he had a Patrick Mahomes where he's going to force him to football because he needed to, I think it'd be a different outcome. But Shakir's the guy to own there. It seems pretty clear as day to that. Some of the bigger names in the waiver wire pool this week I think are interesting. Colston Loveland. Roma Dunze played in this game, but not a lot. And the bigger takeaway here is the Bears score 47, and Swift does not play. Dunze runs 98% of routes, targeted 6%. No points. Like, this was an intentional decoy spot for Roma Dunze with the I think it was heel injury. DJ Moore scores 23 fantasy points. He has his best game of the season. Colston Loveland scores 29.8 fantasy points. Again, his clear best game of the season. I think he might have done the exact same thing that Brock Bowers did from an overall perspective. Let me see. Where's Colston Loveland at? So Colston has 52.4 on the year. He scored 29 in that game. So yeah, he had 22.6 before that game, and he scored 29.8 in that game. And that's, I mean, we knew Colson Loveland had that in him. That's why he was a first round pick. That's why we looked at him the way we did. He is in the Brock Bowers mold more than Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren's a bigger, you know, an Ertz, Gronk, et cetera, build. Kyle Rudolph, like, with the abilities of those athletes and those guys, Jimmy Graham's, whatever. Loveland's more of the Brock Bowers mold, and we knew he could take on an opportunity like this. Didn't see it with Rome in the lineup, but it came to fruition regardless. I got completely set in the corner by Rome and his 0 points, and that kind of sucked in this one. Some other big guys that came to fruition. Kyle Monongai, we said, we warned, we thought, this guy's going to get all the carries, all of them. He got 26 for 176, added in a couple of receptions for 22. He had 198 yards, Kyle Monongai did. Does anybody know the last time DeAndre Swift finished a game with 198 total yards? I'm waiting in the chat. Drop it. When's the last time Kyle Monongai ended up with 100? Not Kyle Monongai. DeAndre Swift ended up with 198 yards in a game. He had 181 against the Vikings a couple years ago when he played for Philadelphia. Never has he had 198. Kyle Monongai does it in his first career start. Maniacal. Maniacal. The definition of Kyle Maniacal Monongai. Monongai. Kyle Maniacal Monongai. That's what we're going to call him. Massive. And the opportunity is there. And I will be interested to see what they do with this when Swift is 100% back. What do you – did you just – yeah, it's Swift's backfield. I don't think you do. Shout out to those Roster Watch Nation that held on to Parker Washington, 9 targets, 8 for 90. I ranked him this week at wide receiver. I was hated for it. I was bastardized for it. I was yelled at about it. I was going to be wrong. But what did Cody do? Cody ranked Parker Washington, wide receiver 19. Nobody liked it. The predictions didn't like it. The projections didn't like it. Trashman didn't like it. Alex didn't like it. Fantasy Pros didn't like it. You name it, didn't like it. Parker Washington, wide receiver 19 in fantasy points in the Roster Watch rankings this week. Where did Parker Washington finish in fantasy points this week? At the wide receiver position in week 9, when the opportunity was gifted to him, I was still too low. I was still too low. Wide receiver 16. Shout out to Parker Washington. Also, shout out to Roster Watch Nation for those that carried Torrey Horton. If you're in best ball and you have Torrey Horton, Dynasty Best Ball, little 4 for 48 and 2 touchdowns, helping that Sam Darnold just gross, just perfection. Perfection of a first half for Sam Darnold on Sunday Night Football. Perfection. I don't remember seeing anything like it. I think he ended up like 15 for 15. I took the screenshot. It was 13 for 13, 229, 4 touchdowns. I think he ended up with like 252 after that reception from JSN down the sideline to end the first half, and they go up 31-7, I think it was, at the end of that first half there. Just, I mean, that's a top 5 pick, Sam Darnold right there, and that's why he was taken there. But Torrey Horton benefits in part of that, and Torrey Horton continues to build onto his rookie season resume, which is going to, you know, continue to build. 13 catches, 161 yards, 5 touchdowns. So 5 touchdowns on 13 receptions. Pretty elite, if you ask me. Next takeaway. Where should we go? Next takeaway from me. Do we think that – how do I want to phrase this? I for those counting at home, I don't believe in the Vikings right now. Vikings-Detroit play, I talked about it on Sunday. Jan Sawicki, if you're watching this, she's always in the Sunday morning show, the Start-Sit show. And she did her Survivor this week, and she asked who I would pick, and I would pick Detroit. It's in Detroit. Kevin O'Connell hasn't won in Detroit in his career. 0-3 with the Vikings. They lost by 10. They lost by 11. They lost by 22. They're 8.5-point dogs. Their offensive line is in flux. They get Brian O'Neill back. They got Darisaw banged up. He's back. Jones is another week fresh. They coming off of two losses against Philadelphia at Los Angeles. You come home. You had 10 days. McCarthy's the quarterback back in. First time in over a month and a half. I was like, you take Detroit. And Detroit loses to the Vikings in a game that I thought Detroit might have should have won. Goff throws for 284, two touchdowns, no picks. Not really a running game in this one. 65 yards on 20 carries for the Lions. Montgomery gets into the end zone. St. Brown has a day. Laporta, I'm listening to this game on the radio on my drive, and it's like Laporta, the first drive. But then Aaron Jones is busting stuff left and right. We had him in the Roster Watch picks this week. You can go get those picks over at rosterwatch.com with a pro or a premium membership. In the Hyper Picks tools, we had Aaron Jones. I think the number for the receiving yards was 50. We had him in twice. So we had 50.5 total rush plus receiving yards hit. Aaron Jones, 13.5 receiving yards also hit. Jones at 78 on the ground, 20 through the air. So he had 98 total yards in this game. He looked good. I don't know if I believe in the Vikings, though. I still believe more in the Lions. The Lions are 5-3. Vikings are 4-4 as you look at that division. Packers sit at the top, 5-2-1. Packers-Vikings play in 3 weeks. I'll be at Lambeau for that one. Vikings 4-4. That division, 5-2-1 Packers, 5-3 Lions, 5-3 Bears, 4-4 Vikings. I'm probably least sold on the Vikings out of that whole division. Seattle looked good last night. We talked about Seattle already. The backfield. We haven't checked in on this backfield in a couple of weeks. We talked about it, the first 5 weeks of the year? Haven't talked about it. They have a running game now, or a passing game with Sam Darnold. The running game opportunities have shifted back towards Ken Walker as far as the snaps go. So Charbonnet went down from, remember, he was leading the backfield in snaps and rush attempts percentage. He goes from 61% week six down to 51%, down to 38%. He scored 5.6 fantasy points this week. Ken Walker scored 8. Ken Walker hasn't scored more than 10 since week 4. But he gets 54% of the snaps out of the backfield, up 33%, 43%, 54%. So it looks like he's shifting back towards Ken. Again, neither of these dudes are to be trusted in a week-to-week fashion in fantasy football. Neither of them. But I'll tell you who is to be trusted in week-to-week fashion in fantasy football, because Lamar Jackson is back. You can trust pretty much everything in Baltimore, but I think most importantly, I think we can trust, I think, they've been a lot of targets, and we're doing a little bit of touchdown chasing here, 2 for 22 and 2 touchdowns in the return of Lamar Jackson in Miami. But I think there's more opportunities. The schedule's going to unfold well. And when you're on the road in tight spots, like they're going to be the next couple weeks against Minnesota and Cleveland, Lamar Jackson, to dig the Baltimore Ravens out of the hole and to get them wins down the stretch, I think Mark Andrews might end up being a league winner in 2025 fantasy football.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.